Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. We have Larry with us tonight. Hi, Larry, how you doing?
Hey, Stuart, thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. I want to start by reading a short, I don't know if you'd call it a comment or an email, but anyway, I think it sums a few things up over this lady that claims that Trump insulted her. My husband gave his life willingly in Egypt under Carter in 1980. He was in love with the Air Force and this country. He once told me that he did what he did to protect us so that we would have freedom here in the United States and not have to be under war ourselves. He would be so disappointed in this country and was one of the most patriotic and lover of this country that I know or have ever known. I am almost glad that he isn't here to see the country he died for. We are in sad shape for sure. God help us. What do you think? I think that sums it up. Right there.
Wow. Wow, Stuart, that's incredible. And that just really dovetails right in to what John Kelly announced, you know, in the White House briefing about the same thing. And as you said, and I really did enjoy your blog you wrote where you talked about got it noted down here, nothing sacred anymore. It's really powerful. And this is really, you know, you said you felt like the Lord may have been delivering a message through him, and it reminded me of Susan Boyle.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think Susan Boyle was a definite sign. A lot of people probably don't realize the significance of what she did. You have to go back to the two comets. And they were both seen by the entire world. One was Hyakutake. The other one was Hale Bopp. Hyakutake in 1996. Hale Bopp in 1997. And if people got to see it, you would have to be awestruck at their beauty and the size. They were huge comets. The point being that both of those comets crossed over the star of Algol, which is Satan's head, and they formed a perfect cross 1 year apart. And that was not by accident. And, of course, it deals with Genesis and the promise that the Lord made back then of crushing the head of Satan. And it was a warning to the entire world that something was coming. Lo and behold, on the same date, 4/11, April 11th, Susan Boyle comes on the scene, a totally unknown woman. Everybody mocked her until she opened her mouth to sing. And she sang the swan song of the entire human race. I had a dream, but that dream was destroyed. And that's where we are. And there are many, many signs that the Lord has given. And he speaks through different people. He speaks through the movies. He speaks through, well, like he says, I'll give my dreams and visions to whom I will. And, you know, we got these arrogant, absolutely arrogant and haughty Christians who claim that if it's not a Christian, you just can't believe anything that's said. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if what they utter comes true, then it came from the Lord. And if it doesn't, it didn't come from the Lord. So he does all of these things, and that was in 2009, by the way, that on April 11th, 2009, that Susan Boyle sang that song. It was incredible. And she came out of obscurity, Larry. She was not known at all. And all of a sudden, she's known worldwide. And that's exactly how the Lord does things. Another sign that came and went that nobody recognized was Terry Schiavo, whom George Bush executed because he wouldn't step in. You know, I don't know if you remember that story.
I remember that well. I remember that.
And it was a really sad, sad situation. And the Lord, actually, I'm not asking anybody to believe that it was a vision or whatever, but I was taken to Florida in a dream. And I stood in front of a courthouse, and this man comes out, and he's thumbs down. And I knew that Terry Schiavo was going to be executed and murdered at that point in time. And I began to cry. I have no idea. And the people who were gathered around the courthouse came over and they said, "Why are you crying?" And I said, "I really don't know. But I know what it is after the fact. It was the Holy Spirit. And he was crying for the United States. Because unknown to almost all Americans, Terry Schiavo represented the United States of America. And George Bush thumbs down on her, and so they executed her by the law. Well, lo and behold, you go into Jeremiah, you go into Isaiah, you go into the book of Revelation, and you find out that mighty America Babylon is going to be executed by the law, with no mercy whatsoever, the same way they did to Terry Schiavo. And Terry Schiavo was mentally compromised. Well, I think we got an answer from our general, Kelly, didn't we? That America is mentally compromised. There's nothing left. It's gone. I mean, it's horrible to watch a nation that had all of the promises of the Lord in Deuteronomy chapter 28 come to this sad, sad end, just like Terry Schiavo. We're mentally compromised. We can't seem to do anything. We can't seem to make the right decisions. All this infighting. A communist coup, the American people don't seem to care one way or the other. And so they're going to go down. They can laugh and roll on the floor if they want to. They're going to be killed. They're going to be murdered. And it's just a sad thing to watch. I mean, we have stood by, as you know, Larry, while the communists infiltrated, just as the protocols of the elders of Zion, which they claim never existed, it's all a fraud. I advise people to read the protocols. Everything they said they were going to do, they have done. It's like Iron Mountain. We produced that Iron Mountain blueprint for tyranny. It's up free on our website, Angel Fall 923. So That's fulfilled. They're doing it right under the noses of the American people. And like you have said, and I have said, and others, it seems like the American people don't care. They just don't care. So they've infiltrated our educational system, Socialist Communist Union, you know, the NEA, openly said they were communists. They've infiltrated all levels of government, from local to federal. You've got traitors in every town, probably, and they are at this point communists, and they don't even know it. They don't even realize they are. And then they've infiltrated the churches, like the National Council of Churches and all of that. They're all communist fronts. They've taken over the pulpits. They've destroyed Christianity. I guess you got a word that church is okay, but they should read their Bibles, because Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7 that the vast majority, and I'm taking it at 95%, maybe even more, are unsaved, and they're hellbound, because the communists have infiltrated the churches. They've destroyed salvation doctrine. They don't even teach prophecy because they want to keep the American people totally asleep as to what's actually going on. Because I think that's why governments, I'd like your opinion on this. Why do the governments hate the Bible so much? I believe it's because prophecy points a finger to them, to all the leaders, Psalm 2. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I have to correct myself. I did hear last night a note, and I checked it out today, and Rick Wiles in Florida is calling for repentance. You know, he's got a big call going out for repentance. So somebody is saying repentance. You and I and Rick Wiles and Augusto and not very many more, it seems, but there is that word is being said. And at the same time, I'm kind of getting slammed by some people that when I, you know, I must be a real spiritual downer. That's the only thing I can figure out. Because when I slam the church for ineffectivity, in other words, not being effectual, you know, I get emails from people that really don't like that very much. And you know, I probably shouldn't do that. But, you know, Stuart, you're well acquainted with the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. And if I remember right, most everybody that the Lord had doing anything of any use at all on planet Earth would criticize the people of faith during that day that didn't do what they was told to do.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And you know, even, you know, Jesus talks about, you know, you say me, you know me, but you don't do what I tell you. I mean, you know, they're not obedient. And as you was talking, you know, and talking about Iron Mountain and, you know, all the, I can't even remember how many DVDs or rather at one time it was videotapes, you know, films, books, you know, cyber books, et cetera, et cetera. You've been warning about this for years, and you even have groups of people that have woke up every morning literally to destroy Stuart Best. I don't know if people realize that, but people live to destroy you. That's their whole life. Every day they got up to attack you. That's all they did. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't realize where we come from, you know. But, you know, and I've shared with people a lot. There are people that say, well, you're just too harsh. But, you know, I loved old, I'm trying to remember his name. I think it was Leonard Ravenhill. You know, he was a minister, and he said one thing about people that lived in the prophetic that are not called to be pastors. It's like when they get through with a congregation, the congregation's all over the place with lightning bolts clean through them. They look like they've been slain by some kind of knight with a sword and a spear, you know. And so, you know, one thing I don't do is tickle ears. I hadn't done that in quite some time. And I don't plan on beginning to do that either. I'm through with all that, and I think you are too, and others. And we just got to tell the truth. And you talked to, you know, it seems everything going on this whole planet dovetails right back into Psalm 2.
Yes, the non-existent Psalm. There's no such thing as a conspiracy. Well, husbands conspire against wives. Wives conspire against husbands. Children conspire against their parents. Business people conspire against each other. That's the way it works. I mean, we're a fallen race. I don't know why people expect anything different. But that's the first problem, is they have to admit they're fallen, and they don't want to do that. That's an anathema. I think that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do anything I tell you? Yeah, that's a good question. But you have to tell the truth, and I have for years, and we are not popular at all, but it doesn't matter. When I leave this earth, I will leave it knowing that I told everybody the truth, and they don't like it, then they're going to lump it. I mean, Jesus says right there in Matthew 7, you know, they're not going to like it, but they're going to be lost. And that's one of the most deadly verses of Scripture that you'll ever find in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, get away from me. I never knew you. Don't know who you are. And they were all Christians. So, yeah, it's sad, but it's just Christianity has gone the same way as our nation has gone. And there's nothing we can do except point out where prophecy is being fulfilled, get yourself ready, because times are changing, as Bob Dylan said, and they're really changing now.
I was going to ask you, I was going to mention something real quick and get your comment, because, you know, we've gone through the, you know, I called you and I told you about a real incredibly valid dream that I had, and, you know, of course, I'm not going to tell people what it was particularly, but not at this time. But anyway, I wanted to share something with you on the timing, because the reason I'm saying that is, you know, we shared with people about the so-called American eclipse, you know, that came in August, and
yes.
Then we shared, you know, and talked with people about the 923 star sign, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and a lot of the important dates and all of this. And I've, you know, after this is time has gone by from 923 on, and of course we're now October the 20th. Today, you know, a couple of days ago, I was walking and praying, and I was just telling the Lord, you know how you grumble sometimes when you're walking. I said, Lord, you know, we really didn't see a lot after the American eclipse, other than there appeared to be that some significance to that, really incredible number significance and et cetera. And then I said, mm-hmm. The 923 star sign, we saw a star sign. I mean, it was in the heavens, no doubt about that. It was significant. A lot of numbers. I said, but we haven't seen a transition particularly that we kind of feel is about to happen. And I said, and we're all feeling change. I mean, I'm feeling change. A lot of people's feeling change. You and I have talked about the 923 star sign, a possible pivot point. And anyway,
yep.
Without going into a lot about the dream, I had an incredible dream that I woke up with. And that was after praying the prayer about what's going on. And in this dream, though, the part I'll tell is I was standing, I turned and looked back in a room, and there was a man standing by me. And I don't believe he was a man. I believe he was an angel, actually. But also there were numerous people coming in. They were warriors that were coming into the room from the other side of him. And I don't believe they were angels. I believe they were warriors, and possibly, you know, the word elect kind of came into my mind. But anyway, when I turned, you know, I know that there was possibly 30 to 50. I didn't count them, but there was a lot of folks coming in. And I asked this one next to me that I called the man, but he's not a man. I think he was an angel. I asked him, I said, how many's coming? And he looked at me, and he really didn't answer my question. He gave me a number. He said 10. He said 10. And I thought, wow. 10, because, and my eyes said, whoa, there's a whole lot more than 10, but his answer was 10. That was to get my attention. So the minute I woke up, and there was more to the dream, but I'm not going to share it. But when I woke up, though, the first thing on my mind, because of how vivid it was, I ran to my little numbers book called Keys to Scripture Numerics by Ed Below, and I looked up number 10, and let me read this real quick and get your comment. It says 10 has been a significant number in all historical ages. This is a number of testimony. Considered as twice 5, 10 stands for responsibility intensified, signifying the measure of responsibility and its judgment or reward. This is the number used under the law. man was responsible under the law to keep the commandments and bear a testimony for God. And, Stuart, it really just sunk heavy into me that I do believe we're in that transition time, that time of incredible change.
Yes.
I don't think a lot of the church is aware of what's happening. I know the world's probably not, but I think that verified to me we are in this pivot point, and from the dream I had without sharing the details, and you know some of them, I think that heaven is much more involved with this pivot than we even comprehend.
Oh, I believe so. We know we're moving out of the age of grace or the church age, moving into the law. And you can tell that by the pivot that you find immediately in the book of Revelation, how the church age ends in chapter 3, and then from there on out, church is not mentioned. The only thing that's mentioned later on in chapter 21 or 22 is about the bride who's already left. She's in heaven. And we're pivoting. And I can't tell anybody when the rapture is going to take place, but there is one. A lot of people deny it. They say there is no such thing. But unfortunately for them, there is. And we are headed into a time of trouble unlike anything, according to the Bible itself. Read in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, time of trouble unlike anything ever seen before. Jesus said the same thing, time of trouble, unlike anything this world has ever seen before. And so there comes a time when the Lord is going to remove his people and get them out of the way, and then the hammer comes down really bad, and nobody wants to be involved in what's coming because it's really going to be nasty. And can we move into Kimmy, the whiz kid in North Korea?
Oh, yeah.
And what you heard, UN Secretary General, did I hear that right? Telling Trump that North Korea has to be denuked?
I was kind of shocked because, to Trump has been somewhat critical. And, of course, the U.N. ambassador has two of the United Nations as of late. And I saw today where the Secretary General of the United Nations went to the White House and met with Trump, and they talked. And then I saw this evening a interview. It was an interview of the U.N. Secretary General, and he came out and said that the UN was in somewhat of a transition, and that the greatest threat at the moment, North Korea, had to be the nuclear weapons and systems had to be taken from North Korea, had to be removed, and that was a fact, and he was working with Trump in that regard. So, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to add to that, but I saw that for myself.
That is a dangerous, as I said before, I think we're being led into a trap, and that North Korea is that trap, and this is going to bring America down through war. But if we do it, unless we use a TR-3B system of unknown laser or particle beam weapons or a microwave weapon or something else that they've dreamed up, that's going to kill millions of people. In my take, it has to be very swift, it has to be very severe, and it has to be permanent removal. Well, the only weapons we have that can do that would be those kind of weapons from the heavens. He maketh fire to come down out of heaven. I think we're going to see a whole of that start. But what's interesting, Larry, you're familiar with Deagle.com. And I've done some research on Deagle, and they are tied directly into the CIA, the NSA, and all of the agencies basically around the world.
I'm not
surprised.
Well,
guess what? In 2025, North Korea isn't even on the map. There's nobody there, which is kind of interesting because that's about 7 years away. Remember the eclipse? 7 years.
Yeah.
Another one comes. Well, the American population, 2016, they claim it was 324 million. It's more than that. It's about 350 million. Okay? By 2025, the American population is slated to be 54 million people. I mean, I don't buy it. I think it's going to be far less than 54 million, but that's just my take.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
a population
well, you know,
drop of almost 300 million.
That sounds a whole lot like Iron Mountain, doesn't it?
It sure does. And that would indicate we're going to war. It's just one more, how do we say, proof that war is almost on the immediate horizon. And
there was another thing, Stuart, that kind of goes along with this. You know, today I had called you and said that when I was watching the White House press conference, one of the reporters asked a question that never got answered, and that question was the reporter said that they had got a tip from an informant that today Donald Trump was going to sign an executive order calling back the military to active duty and wanted to know any details. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who was the White House representative, would not answer that question, said she would not talk about it, and move swiftly on to something else. And I called you about that, and now you said you've looked into that and found a little bit of validity to that question.
Yeah, it actually was issued. Patty did a lot of research on that, and it got issued, I think, later this afternoon. And what it is an executive order by Trump to enable him to call up reserve pilots. The excuse being, I guess, that, there's just a shortage of pilots. I don't buy those kind of excuses. We do know there's a shortage of pilots, not only in the military, but in the general airline industry as well. But this seems to tie in to the North Korean situation, that he's calling up reserves. Or has the ability to. He may not do it, but we've been down this road before. You know what happens when we get into a war. You know, the Selective Service is still active. They've got everybody registered. I think after the age of 18, it's supposed to register. So they can call up thousands, millions, of virtually overnight if they need them. And, of course, as you know, once you're in the military like that, particularly if you're an officer, you remain in the reserve category. You can be called up anytime they want. So this is kind of unusual, I thought.
It
what
is,
do you think?
Especially with, it is especially, you know, you'd asked me about Kim, and he's made more threats now. Now, he's threatened to nuke the U.S., the UK, talking about Europe. He's also threatened to nuke, you know, the United Nations. I mean, he's just ready to blast everything. And of course, ironically, you know, the two satellites of North Korea is still going over, as far as I know, and the reports and intelligence that are coming out of that region of the peninsula that Kim is preparing to shoot another. Possibly a satellite into space, and we know probably what that might be, but at the same time, they're very concerned about another nuke test or an H-bomb test in the Pacific, and also him firing more missiles. So this has not gone away at all. This thing is ratcheting up, it seems, by the day. But with the U.N. Secretary General going to meet with Trump at the White House and then come out being interviewed about North Korea, you certainly have to believe something is up, that we're headed somewhere with this.
Yeah, as you have said before, a lot of this stuff is smoke screening. And, if that was the main, well, of course, we don't know what the main topic might have been, but for the UN Secretary General to say we got to neutralize Kim and we've got to stop this development means we're right at the door of a major conflict. And I've just had that impression from all the remarks that Trump has made. He's not going to be, Kim's not going to be around much more, and stuff like that. And then Kim's rhetoric back and some of the pamphlets that they spread over South Korea, naming, you know, the maniac Trump and stuff like that. They have pretty much verbally anyway maneuvered themselves into a confrontation from which they can't back down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, folks, it can happen anytime. Here we are on the coming up on the 21st, 22nd. Don't forget that there are those in Israel that claim that the barley harvest was, in fact, too soon, and that puts it into what they call a leap month. And that pushes off, technically, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. Tabernacles would end right around 11-11 to 11-13, I guess. Not good, let's put it that way. We're in for some trouble, I believe. That just might take... What else you got there, Larry? I want to get into this Vegas thing. I've done some more research on it, but what would you like to talk about next? You mentioned Tillerson.
Yeah, that was shocking this evening. I was watching Lou Dobbs, you know, he's on Fox Business Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke a report and said that he was shocked because of what the rhetoric has been from the White House and from Trump about Iran, that Tillerson was apparently in Europe telling the Europeans that they don't have to stop working with Iran, that he'll cover for them. That, you know, but he did that. If he did it, if that report's true, that he's telling the Europeans that you can do anything, you can just work with Iran all you want to, then it's interesting that it comes right on the heels of the Obama and Bush attack on Trump.
Yeah, that was a very unusual thing. Folks, if you're not aware of it, President Bush and Obama came out and all but destroyed or tried to destroy what Trump is trying to do. And what we're watching really are the globalists versus Trump's nationalism. And so they're trying to destroy this separate, what they call separatist movement of nationalism. Well, of course, they have to trash it. They're globalists. Obama was a globalist. Both of the Bush people were rabid globalists and trying to submerge the United States under the United Nations, which they've done a pretty good job at doing. This is going to get interesting, especially with the Secretary General telling Trump, you know, we got to do something about this Kimmy the Whiz Kid. We gotta neutralize Rocket Man. Maybe that's why he does do what Dr. Doom said. He'll light off a nuke in anger and kill a lot of people.
Yeah.
And remember that. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention, you know, we mentioned on a previous intel brief over the last couple of days that South Korea has announced that they're no longer negotiating anything with North Korea because Kim has pulled out of all the talks, and they're now warning the people in Seoul, Korea, to prepare for an attack from the North. And so, you know, at the same time, we have this military so-called drill going on, naval drill and Air Force drill, I suppose, in that region, and they even have ships over there that can take care of wounded which you just don't usually send into drills. I mean, they just don't do that. So it appears, though, we are preparing, prepping for some real activity there, right there around the peninsula.
Yeah, it could break out any time. And I just feel that this is a trap and that North Korea is probably the first of the dominoes to fall. Now, you remember that rabbi who said that Israel was going to be hit by North Korea? Well, everybody says, well, you don't have a missile capable of doing that. He does. All he has to do is take one of his subs and park it off, you know, Israel a ways, and launch a couple of nuke cruise missiles. Nobody has any idea what he's got or what he's been fed. The same with Iran. If we go after North Korea, Iran's going to do Daniel 8. They're going to go off on all their neighbors. And the rhetoric between Saudi Arabia is very, very interesting. How they're, as has been said, you know, they're working on this 34 Arab nation consolidation, or almost kind of like a NATO for military use, and predominantly against Iran, I guess. So war can break out anywhere. Any more news from Israel?
Well, out of Israel is some very interesting information that, you know, and of course, this is not really being reported. You know, we're not being told about fighting that's going on in Iraq, are we?
No, not a word.
Okay, we've got a war breaking out, possibly a civil war breaking out in Iraq and Syria again, because you remember the Kurds voted for Kurdistan, an independent
yes.
vote, and they voted it in. And now, suddenly, over the last week or so, Iran, the Revolutionary Guard, and we know who those are the terrorist groups, they have moved in forces into Iraq around Kukert, where, you know, the Iraqis and the Kurds fought the ISIS folks out of there. Well, now the Iranians have embedded themselves with the Iraqis, and they're in a full fight. They're firing back and forth between the Iraqis and the Iranians are fighting the Kurdish troops.
Wow.
And nobody knows this, but it has been already been reported, Depth Files reporting it, that Iran has now set up a command and control center near Kirkuk, Iraq, and they have also set up five military bases of Revolutionary Guard troops inside Iraq. So this is some of what Netanyahu has been warning about Iran. They're taking over the region. They've also brought forces down from Iran into Damascus. They recently fired on Israeli planes over Lebanon out of Damascus,
mm-hmm.
and Israel hit them. And the last 2 days, Israeli tanks have been firing on Syrian positions. And none of this is making the news. We've got too much Weinstein and kneeling NFL smoke to watch any real news.
Yes. They're keeping the American people in the dark. That's why it's going to hit the American people sudden destruction, basically. Yeah, it's too bad, but it's the way it is. I guess it's the way the Lord wants everything to unfold. And because people have abdicated any study of prophecy and cross-comparing and cross-referencing, they've drawn a lot of wrong conclusions. And it's a sad state of affairs, but if the American people had not gone into this apostasy, this great falling away and their hatred for the truth, I guess that's what you get, isn't it? Because either, like Bob Dylan said, you're going to serve somebody. It may be the Lord or it'll be the devil, but you're going to serve somebody. So that's the way it is. I wanted to get into this Vegas thing a little bit because I think it ties directly to where we are and may even tie into the North Korean situation. I believe, after studying this out, that Vegas shootings were really a warning that Obama's coming back on the scene. Let me try and explain that. The guy that did the shooting was named Paddock, as I mentioned yesterday on the air. Okay, the name Paddock is an enclosure where usually horses are saddled up, paraded before a race. So the name Paddock immediately goes over to an enclosure where racehorses are saddled and paraded before a race. Okay, so just remember what this is about, racehorses. We had the Triple Crown, American Pharaoh. Remember American Pharaoh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He won the Belmont race. That was the last race that this American Pharaoh horse ran. He ran that race in 146.65 seconds, a little over 2 minutes. That adds up to 11:11. Now, you can't make this stuff up. We have a lot of numbers. The race was done on June 6, 2015, which is a 666. And the guy wore a hat after the race when he got his helmet off. They gave him a hat. Do you remember the Monster drinks?
Yes,
at all?
Absolutely.
They're kind of a high-energy drink. Well, what a lot of people don't realize is the symbols on that drink, there's three of them, are the Israeli or the Hebrew for six. 666.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people don't know that. All right, and the priestess race, I think that's how you pronounce it, he wore number 18. 666. This is kind of interesting, and I just found it out. Between the time that he won that race to November 11th, which is an 11-11, and that number showed up a number of times on that race, is 888 days in between the Belmont win to November 11th, which is an 11-11. I don't think any of this is by accident. We're being told something and to get ready for something, because the number 888 means first resurrection and first fruits, which I found kind of odd. Now, how does this all tie over? Well, he was called the American Pharaoh. Do you remember all the pictures of Obama dressed up as Pharaoh of Egypt? I mean, there were hundreds of them.
Oh, yeah, all over the internet.
Pharaoh, remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
So is there a tie here? Are we being told, look out, Pharaoh's coming back?
Well, I find
and
something
remember,
really interesting. I was watching One America News today. And they had a breaking report that a school in Mississippi had taken down the name, I guess it was Lee or something, what they called a Confederate name, and have named it after Barack Obama. And so why would you do that unless he's coming back? That's an announcement of him coming out.
That's what I think. I think the number 888 is very, very significant as to approximately when we can look for Obama to really start coming on stage. Now, he's already made a speech, right?
Yeah.
And he's about to make one on October 31st, Halloween, I think it is, in Chicago, where a group of world leaders are coming. Why would they do that? I mean, Obama, he's the next president. And yet here he comes out on the 19th slamming Trump, along with globalist Bush. There's something going on here that we're not seeing. And this is exactly the kind of a sign that the Lord gives people. And he takes great delight in covering these things. We really have to dig and find out what he means. Now, there's something else about this Vegas thing. This so-called guard, well, he was never a security guard. He has no Nevada license to be a security guard. He was set up by the MGM CEO and hired the day before of this so-called shooting event. Remember, afterwards he disappeared. Nobody could find him. He shows up on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And guess who sponsors all that? Uh-huh. MGM. Yeah, it's MGM. Now, the picture of the fellow who came out, it's not the same as the picture of what this guy is supposed to look like. There's something really going on here. Something really probably very nefarious, I guess one would say. Soros made millions. MGM CEO made lots of money on it. And now we find out they have ties to a company that produces security equipment, scanners and stuff. They'll make a fortune on it as they tighten up security. So I think what this Vegas sign is, number one, Obama's coming back. Number two, much tighter security the nation over. Number three, they're going to go for the guns and a registration first, and they'll take it. And then we have, and I'd like your comments, have you heard any more about this Antifa 4-11 or 11 November 4th revolution starting? Have you heard any more about that?
We're still hearing reports that that is going to begin about that time. And that's really when the violence is going to move into the streets. And so we're really following that very closely because this is the 20th, so it's not that far away. And it would also chime in on a lot of the political attacks that are coming down on Trump because it's coming full force now. Like you said in your recent blog, the coup is in high gear at this point.
Yes. They're pulling out all the stops because I think they're running out of time. And I think they know it. And it's going to be, the Lord does say, I'm going to work a work in your days. You wouldn't believe it even if I told you. So we're going to have to wait and see what kind of work that is. I mean, it could be that Trump actually survives all of this and exposes all of it for what it is. Not that the American people are ever going to do anything about it, but, you know, it's possible. Any more on La Palma and the earthquake?
Not really. The last week or two, they've been watching a number of quakes that are swarming under the islands there in La Palma and the Canary Islands, and they're very concerned because they say that this may loosen the volcanic regions there and we could have a tsunami from it.
Yeah, they say that it could possibly produce at least a 300-foot tsunami on the east coast. They claim it would take about 5 to 8 hours to get to the, but it would devastate. Here's some of the elevations. Say Portland, Maine, Boston, New Haven, Bridgeport, New York City, Jersey City, Newark, Atlantic City, Wilmington, Philadelphia, Virginia Beach, Wilmington, North Carolina, Myrtle Beach, Charleston, Savannah, Daytona Beach, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami would be hit if this goes off. Like, they're really, I guess, really worried that this thing is going to... And you notice the timing of all this? It's right on time. What do you think? You think that could go along with Yellowstone and Long Valley and break off of California?
Well, I did note today that Soda Springs, Idaho, that swarm quakes that are occurring on that edge of Yellowstone there is really ramping up. And they're very concerned. And at the same time, there are warnings about the West Coast. So, I mean, it's not like it just didn't almost in any direction you turn problems.
Yeah. Here's an article from Linda Moulton Howe. It's just a short brief. Latest Antarctica volcano count, 138. Another threat
wow.
to sea level rise. We were amazed, said a scientist. We had not expected to find anything like 91 more volcanoes a mile down in the ice. West Antarctic Rift is the densest region of volcanoes in the entire world. That's not good news either. And if we study history, I think you can virtually prove that the last major extinction was volcanic in its nature. And I here we are. So anyway, it's just one thing after another. We don't seem to have any way out of this.
And what's interesting, Stuart, is the fact that they recently, of course, I'm not telling anybody to believe this, and I'm certainly not telling anybody to go do it, but there was a remote viewer recently that claims to be pretty authentic that actually remote viewed under the ice in Antarctica, and he said, wow. He said, it's all melted under there. It's melted. They're great caverns. And if you'll remember, too, there have been some satellite reports of Antarctica lately, and the ice is caving in.
Yeah. The bots, Cliff High, on several of his reports, said that Antarctica was going to go into upheaval, which I find amazing that now they're finding out that this is probably the truth. Okay, so let's say that we have had a lot of our anti-gravity experimentation or the Nazi experimentation down in Antarctica, which is, I think, basically proven from testimony. If that were to undergo massive, how do we say, Earth changes, would they not have to vacate?
Yeah, that would be a problem, because where would you vacate to? And that's very interesting. Matter of fact, today, you mentioned Earth changes. Stan Deo was on with Augusto and Chuck and I on a show, and he was tying back everything, including the volcano activity and all the activity that we've been receiving of this weird weather and hurricanes. He says it's the sun doing it. The sun is causing this, and it's going to get worse. And I find it very telling, you know, that it reminds me of the member of the movie 2012, how the sun excited the interior
yes.
of the planet. And remember what Anton Johansson, the Norwegian seer, had said, that in the future sometime that there would be disquietings inside the Earth that would cause great upheaval.
Yeah, we're here. There's no question there is disquieting of the Earth already. Major. I think we're not being told the truth. Let's put it that way. Nobody's telling the real truth about what's going on, and I think the reason they're giving is that why should we? It'll just destroy people. It'll destroy the economy. But you asked a good question. Where if all of this anti-gravity stuff and the so-called alien interchange that's going on down there in Antarctica, they obviously have found something. The world leaders are all going down there. Where would they go to? Would that be part of the arrival? That's what I'm wondering.
It's interesting. You know, when we had Stan on, I asked him the question about, is an arrival simply an arrival, or what about these that are coming up from under the ground that appear to have been here a long time? Yeah.
Hello, Larry? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah.
Hello?
Did you lose me, Stuart?
Okay, hopefully he'll call back. We're having all kinds of trouble, folks. You get on certain subjects, and all of a sudden you're not supposed to talk about it. But anyway, I'll see if he calls back in. Inside knowledge about unidentified aerial phenomenon would lead to world-changing technology. And they're claiming that this hidden technology is probably going to surface. I would hope that it does, but deep state is not going to allow it. Let me see if we can get Larry back. Larry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back. I got thrown out, I guess. I knew things was going too smooth.
Well, we started talking about things they don't want to let out, I guess. So
yeah,
anyway, where were you?
I got thrown out. I got thrown out. But what I was referring to was the fact that I asked Stan Deo, Even today, we asked him again, the same way we did earlier, about an arrival, and he said that part of the arrival are the hybrids that are underground and underground bases. So he says that an arrival comes from both directions, above and below.
That would make total sense. We already know they're on the moon, and we already know they're on Mars, and who knows where else they are. And Dr. Stephen Greer, you know, from the Disclosure Project, says we've been able to go faster than the speed of light in these craft for some time now. And he's got all kinds of witnesses coming forward, and I guess you'd have to call all of them basically liars, you know, if you don't want to believe them. But he's saying that the sun is acting up. And I wanted to get a little bit, we don't have much time left, about Planet X. It was photographed, I believe, in both England and Ireland. The Ophelia hurricane stirred up a lot of dust, and so it made it visible. They could see it and take pictures of it. Now, what's interesting is that the Colburn Bible talks about the destroyer. And the Bible talks about it as well. There's no question that it's out there, and there's no question that it's headed inbound. And this Planet Nine, have you heard any more about the Planet Nine discovery? I know they're denying it's Nibiru, but what's your take on Planet Nine?
My take on it is it from the beginning, this is an old scam used by NASA and the theater groups years ago, from the 50s, I believe, is where they came up with this Planet Nine. And you know, I thought something very interesting, too. Nine is that's not a good number. That's throughout history, that's a catastrophic number, the number nine.
Yes.
And but Stan did say that, in his opinion, this entourage of the dwarf star, because we do have a binary star system, when it comes around, he said it will possibly be visible 6 months somewhere in our solar system before it leaves. So, you know, it's very possible we're beginning that. We're beginning now to possibly see just a little bit possibly of it, maybe. I don't know. I don't have the equipment to do that myself. I'm just having to depend on other people to get images.
Yeah, Marshall Masters ran some tests on it. He claims these pictures are authentic. They're actually seeing something. And we've had, I got a report out of Canada. Some woman woke up at an odd hour and saw a red kind of a moon-like object moving fairly fast. Anyway, we're running out of time, so thanks, Larry, for coming on. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Heads up, we are headed into what appears to be a time of turmoil. Thanks for listening. Take care, and we'll see you again.